हरिओम हरिओम, आई थिंक इट्स लिटिल लाउड। हरिओम हरिओम हरिओम, हरिओम हरिओम, आई थिंक दैट्स फाइन। हरिओम 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 हरिओम, हरिओम गुड। इफ यू कैन जस्ट लीव इट एट द डेस्क ऑन द चेयर, या इट इज ईजियर टू ग्रैब। सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। वक्रतुण्डमहाकाय सूर्यकोटिसमप्रभा, निर्विघ्नं कुरु मे देव सर्वकार्येषु सर्वदा। सरस्वती नमस्तुभ्यं वरदे कामरूपिणी। विद्यारम्भं करिष्यामि सिद्धिर्भवतु मे सदा। गुरुर्ब्रह्मा गुरुर्विष्णुः गुरुर्देवो महेश्वरः। गुरुरेव परं ब्रह्मा तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। हरि ओम। So good to see you in this environment, because I only see you in the other environment outside. By this raise of hand, just want to know how many of you have studied this stotram, the one we are going to do, Shri Shivaprada Kshamapana Stotram. So this stotram is composed by Adi Shankaracharya, and that is his greatness, that you know, he has composed so many verses, so many different stotrams. We know Adi Shankaracharya ji from this perspective of Vedantin, that he is fully Vedantin who knows the the reality of this world in such a way that nobody can nobody can match up to him. But then when you read the stotrams that he has chanted, he kind of shows this this duality, this bhakti aspect of him. And that's what this stotra is also like that. Like you see a bhakti also, but then you see Vedanta also. And his composition, I mean, his life is like that, that, you know, he started off very young age, and then by age 8, had that dispassion, want to leave the house. Age 16, finished studying all the shastras, and by age 32, finished everything he wanted to finish. So, such a deep thinking, deep philosophy that he had. So this stotram is also that deep, we will see, and the understanding behind it. And if you really want to know who Adi Shankaracharya ji was, then there is a text we have. It is called Shankara the Visionary. So it is mission published book. So if you want to know more about his life, then you can read there. But I just wanted to give an idea of who composed this. Now, what is this stotram? Shri Shiva Parada Kshamapana Stotram. So this stotram is written for those devotees or those seekers who are wanting to realign themselves back to Bhagavan. They are now pondering, reflecting on all their actions, starting from their birth, from womb to tomb, as Pujya Gurudev says in the commentary. So that journey till death, and in that journey, the sensuous living, the desirous living that people have been going through, in that living, how much they have forgotten about Bhagavan, and how they have only been worried about these sensuous things are presented, and then asks for forgiveness. That please forgive me, O Lord, because I forgot about you. Please forgive me, O Lord, because I committed this or that. So that is the premise of this entire Shiva Prada Kshamapana Stotra. Let's look at this word, Shri Shiva Prada Kshamapana Stotram. Stotram means stuti, to praise, to eulogize, to speak highly about somebody and to worship through that speech. That is called stuti. And stotram, when we say, then it becomes that by singing this or by chanting this, that is protecting me. Like how we say mantra, when you meditate on the mantra, they protect you from the ignorance of the world. Because they open your thinking, they allow you to see the reality. And then when we practice that, we come to that realization. So similarly is the stotram, is that by doing this praise, I am protecting myself, or I am purifying myself. That becomes the purpose of it. So as a seeker chants this, does the praise of Bhagavan through this, and they are purifying themselves. That is the purpose of stotram. Now, why are you singing? There has to be some purpose for singing, right? There has to be a purpose for praising. Now, certain times if somebody really wants something, and they will just start praising without reason, then you completely come to understand, What is it that you want, son? So, in our praise, we would normally find that there is some motive, there is some purpose for it. But when Mahatmas, they praise, there is no motive for it. They are praising because their mind is that way. They cannot think differently. So wherever the mind goes, it is a praise only for Bhagwan. If they are thinking about sand, they are praising about Bhagwan. If they are thinking about water, they are praising about Bhagwan. If they are thinking about sky, they are praising about Bhagwan only. So in everything, they see divinity. So for them, everything is a praise. So they are not doing it for any purpose. But we do it for a purpose. So this, for a seeker, has a purpose. So as a seeker, the purpose is what? Kshama apanam. Apana means to give or to ask for. Kshama means forgiveness. So to ask for forgiveness, that becomes kshama apana. So the praise is done to ask for forgiveness from Bhagwan. Now, when would we actually ask for forgiveness? If we are to ask for forgiveness, that means we have committed something wrong. We have done some wrong. Then only we do kshamapana. Right? When we do puja, there is kshamasva, kshamasva, we say. Or I've done all these aparadha. So, aparadha kshamapana stotram. So, because I have committed some crime, I am asking for forgiveness through this stotram to gain peace. That is the idea. Now, what is aparadha? This word aparadha comes from another word called radha. Radha, radha, radha is a different word. There is a word called radha and then radha. But both have same meaning. Radha means to please, to give joy, give happiness. So radha has that same context. Aradhana, right? This is my aradhya deva. So, aradhana, when we do, what are we doing? That which is pleasing me, or that which pleases the other, I do that as an action. So, radha is when you give joy to somebody, or when something else gives you joy, that becomes the idea. But when you add this prefix upper, it changes the meaning. Aparadha then becomes sin, or a crime, or some wrong. So that means what? That instead of pleasing someone, I displeased them, or I caused sorrow for them, or I angered them. Something that I did, that is a crime. So opposite of that meaning, radha, is aparadha. And Guruji explains that what is aparadha? What is really a sin? The sin, there is only two kind. The one sin is that we worship that which is not worthy of worship, which should not be worshipped at all, we continue on worshipping. That is one kind of aparadha. And the other aparadha is that which is to be worshipped, that which is really deserving worship, that we don't worship. So we have committed these two kinds of aparadha. So all aparadhas, if you were to look at it, they fall into these two categories. worshipping that which we should not worship, and not worshipping that which we should worship. So how is that really working out? So the idea basically is that when we, now we may think that, no, I don't think I have these, when we hear this word aparadha, I haven't done aparadha in my life. Yeah, small little things, you know, in school when I was going, I used to cheat, take some notes and study for, I mean, take my exams that way, but that's not aparadha. Or, you know, without telling mom or dad, I used to take some things from the cookie jar, and that's not aparadha. Or, I don't know what else. Whatever else other things we have done. But the idea basically is that when we hear word aparadha, we think of a crime. Like something really big that we have done. Stole something or murdered somebody or kidnapped somebody. That is an aparadha. Here, no. That is big level. You take it to an extreme. But what sins we commit is staying or being stuck in sense pleasure. That I cannot leave the house without these chappals. I have to have that. Or I cannot leave the house without combing my hair. I have to look nice. Or I have to have that Alexa. Without Alexa, I cannot operate things in my house. So whatever different things, we are stuck with sense pleasures. Or I have to have dal rice in meal. Without it, it is not possible. I don't feel I have satisfied myself. So a sin is that we are worshipping sense objects, which comes in the form of objects, relations, places, and we worship that as more important. We worship that as being more real. We give more precedence to that than to Bhagwan. So that is one worship, one sin we are committing at all times. Leaving house for work. How often do we think about leaving house of Bhagwan? Bhagwan, I'm going for your work today. No, we think that I'm going for my work, to earn money for me. And then when we start work, our notion is, I am doing this. We hardly think about Bhagwan. At least in India, people have this habit. Like you see these workers who go or who are owning shops. First thing they do when they enter their shop is they'll do this at the threshold. Action-wise they're doing, maybe. We don't know. But at least they're doing action-wise. Here even actions don't come from us. When we leave the house, we don't do this. I see many times, you know, Swamiji comes and enters the place. The first thing Swamiji does is he touches the threshold and then he enters. Doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be just the Yamunotri place. Even if he goes to like hospital for, you know, some talk, he will do that. So that level of worship where you're not thinking about just the sense pleasure, you're thinking beyond that. So one sin we are all committing is that we are worshipping that which is not to be worshipped. And then the other sin is we are not worshipping the Lord that we should be worshipped. The Lord who is the protector, the Lord who is the illuminator of this entire creation, that Lord we forget and we continue to roam around in this ignorance, or circle around in this ignorance. So that is the biggest aparadha that we have committed. So we are saying to Bhagwan that, O Bhagwan, the sin that I have committed, may it be forgiven and may my mind be peaceful through this worship of Stotram. Now the question is, when we say that you are forgiven, somebody, you say, I'm sorry I did that, please forgive me. And then the person says, I forgive you. When the person says, I forgive you, there is one underlying thought there. And that underlying thought is, I acknowledge your mistakes. Or I acknowledge your crime, your sins. And because I've acknowledged your sins, and I don't want you to feel punished for that, so I forgive you. Or I don't want to be stuck with those thoughts, so I forgive you, whatever that reason could be. But there is an acknowledgement of a crime. So if Bhagwan is forgiving us, wouldn't that mean that Bhagwan is acknowledging that we have committed a crime? So if this aparadha kshamapana stotram that we are singing for Bhagwan, we are asking for forgiveness and Bhagwan forgives, does that mean Bhagwan acknowledged that we committed a crime? So Gurudev, in the introduction of this, he writes that Lord never judges nor forgives. See, I knew Lord never forgives. We are remembering that he never forgives, but he doesn't judge also. So he never judged us because Bhagwan never sees his children different from him. So who can commit a crime? Who can commit a sin? It is nothing but an error, you can say. So Bhagwan doesn't see it as a crime, as an offense, just forgetfulness. This child has forgotten me, so he has turned himself towards the sense pleasure. And then to turn him back, he gives dukkha. Says, here, have a little bit of this. So that will turn you around back to me. So Bhagwan never judges. Well, if he doesn't judge, then is it even worthful? Or is it even worthy to chant the forgiveness prayer? Because if he never judges, then why should I ask for forgiveness? I don't really need to ask. Let him do. And he will figure out when I come to him. So that is not the understanding. From Lord's perspective, he doesn't see anybody as distinct. But from our perspective, we see Lord as somebody other than me. Right? We have the notion of duality. That Lord is almighty, all-worshipful, and I am the alpajna, alpashaktiman, meaning little knowing, little strength. So I am this, Lord is that. So therefore, I am asking for forgiveness. So because of that duality is there, my responsibility is to ask for forgiveness. So I am seeing it from my perspective. Lord is seeing from Lord's perspective. That is one way. The other thought is that when I ask for forgiveness, I am making my mind peaceful. Because what is happening with my sins? My sins are becoming less. If I'm aware of the sins I've committed, at an intellectual level, and with that intellect I am asking for forgiveness, it is telling what? That I will not commit a mistake like this again, or a sin like this again. I am repenting about this and I want to turn back. I want to change my route. So this remorse that one has is washing away the sins. And when it washes the sins away, it creates a mental purity. It creates a mental calmness for us so that we are able to enjoy the calmness. Enjoy the Vedanta also. And the other is that when we chant, our punya increases. Because there can be nothing more meritorious than singing the name of Bhagwan. So when we sing the name of Bhagwan, it removes that thought also of other things in the world. Because that time which I am praying about Bhagwan, my thought is in Bhagwan. So I've forgotten about the world. I mean, to keep the world in mind and then do the prayer is no prayer. Prayer only has a meaning when we are thinking about Bhagwan. So in my remembrance itself, I'm generating punya. And I don't want anything from that punya. I'm not expecting any result out of it. So because I don't expect any result out of it, then again it leads to mental purity. Chitta Shuddhi. And that is the idea. So whenever our sins are reduced, it leads to Chitta Shuddhi. And whenever our punya increases and we don't expect the result from the punya, then also Chitta Shuddhi increases. So while by chanting these stotra, we are doing both. Remembering the sins that we have done and asking repentance, prayaschitta. You've probably studied this prayaschitta karma. So prayaschitta karma does that. It reduces our sins. So through this chanting, I'm reducing those sins and increasing my punya. So therefore, I'm doing this. So Bhagwan does not want me to... Bhagwan is not expecting from me that I ask for forgiveness. But me seeing the Bhagwan this way, forgetting about Bhagwan, I have to ask for forgiveness. And also, I want peace. Therefore, I am chanting the stotra. And who to go to? Which Bhagwan you want to go to? So, Shri Shiva. Shri does not mean Lakshmi. Shri means abundance. Shri means richness. And richness of what? Of Shiva. Auspiciousness. So Lord Shiva is the abode of auspiciousness. And he is full of auspiciousness. So who better to go and ask for mental peace than Lord Shiva? So this stotram is directed to Lord Shiva because he is bestower of peace. Shiva's other name is Shankara. Right? Sham karoti iti Shankara. That which establishes peace or bestows peace, gives peace, that is Shankara. So because Bhagwan gives peace, then why should I stay back in line? Let me go up front. So that becomes the idea when we chant this. And another name for Bhagwan is Ashitosh. So he's easily pleased. All I have to do is chant 14 stotram and he's flat. So that is to Lord Shiva. So to Lord Shiva, I am asking for forgiveness for the sins that I have committed through these 14 verses so that I find peace mentally, and that allows me to become a fit student for Vedanta. Because when the mind is peaceful, Viveka will come. Without Chitta Shuddhi, Chitta Ekagrata, Viveka is harder to come. If Viveka comes, Shamadhi Shatka Sampatti will come. Vairagya will come. And Mumukshutva also will come. So that becomes the mean for Sadhan Chatushtaya also. So we will see in these 14 verses to come this idea presented. And what all sins we have committed, we will get an idea. We haven't even thought about these sins that Adi Shankaracharya ji thought about. And he's like, think about this. Wake up from the delusion that we have been living in and see the reality. And when we see the reality, nothing else we can do but to ask for forgiveness. That all this I have done, I can't undo it. So let me just ask for forgiveness and start fresh. That becomes the point. So let us see the first shloka. So there's books here. If you want to refer to the shloka as we go along. We're on page 1.
Adau karma prasangat kalayati kalusham matrukukshau stitam maam veen mutra medhya madhye kathayati nitaram jatharo jatavedaham yadyadvai tatra dukkham vyathayati nitaram shakyate kena vaktum kshantavyo me aparadha shiva 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 bho Shri Mahadeva Shambho.
We'll chant together now.
Adau karma prasangat kalayati kalusham matrukukshau sthitam maam veen mutra medhya madhye kathayati nitaram jatharo jatavedaham yadyadvai tatra dukkham vyathayati nitaram shakyate kena vaktum kshantavyo me aparadha shiva 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 bho shri mahadeva shambho
kshantavyah me aparadha. Kshantavyah means forgiven. Me aparadha, my sins. My sins be forgiven. By who? By Shri Mahadeva Shambhu. By this Lord Shambhu, Lord Shiva. Who is who? Shiva, Shiva, Shiva. Who is bestower of peace. So he is peace himself and he bestows peace. So to that Shiva is this prayer. Why are we asking this forgiveness? That becomes the important point. So in this verse, it says, Adav, in the beginning, karma prasangat, because being enjoined with karma, being associated with karma, matru kukshau, mother's womb, Kuksha means womb. Matru, mother. Mother's womb, or in the mother's womb, mam sthitam. Me being placed in the mother's womb, kalusham kalayati. Kalusham means dirt, filth, impurities, whatever. Kalayati. Kalayati means to make me go through it, make me live it, make me experience it. So, I am placed in the womb of the mother amongst the dirt, and I am to experience all of that. Why? Because of karma. From karma alone this happened. And further, Shankaracharya ji says, where am I staying? Where is my pillow? Veen mutra amedhya madhye. I am in the midst of veen mutra, meaning urine, and amedhya means feces, your excretion. So I'm in a place where there is urine and there is feces. And what else is happening? Jataraha jatavedaha. Jataraha means of the stomach. Jatavedaha is a name given to Agni. Lord Agni is given this name Jataveda because Lord Agni knows everything. Before we do anything, Agni knows it. So that is why it is called Jataveda. Therefore, when we do in any kind of yajna or anything, we start first with Agni. Agni is the sakshi of all. Therefore, it knows also all. So the representation is Agni. So Agni here is meaning our digestive fire. So the digestive fire of the stomach is doing what? Nitaram kvathayati. Nitaram means always. Kvathayati means cooked. So I am being cooked by my mother's digestive fire, all the while being placed amongst urine and feces. This is the condition. Where? In my mother's womb, in the midst of all the dirt. Yad yad vai tatra dukkham. Yad yad vai means yad yad, whatever. Vai, indeed. So indeed, whatever tatra, there in the mother's womb, dukkham, nitaram vyathayati. Nitaram means always. Vyathayati means afflicts me. It pains me. It gives me sorrow. It gives me suffering. So I am being afflicted by different kinds of sorrow in my mother's womb. And kena vaktum shakyate. By whom? Kena means by whom? Vaktum, to be told. Shakyate, possible. So by whom is it possible of being told? So there is no possibility of it being even told. Therefore, Bhagwan, I ask for forgiveness and forgive me. Now that doesn't make sense. What is this forgiveness about? So now here is the idea. I was watching this YouTube video, which shows like in small clips of 2 to 3 minutes of what happens from the time the pregnancy happens till the time of birth, in like a computer graphics, like how the baby is a size of they say sesame seed, and then it turns into a size of a grape, And then it turns into size of a banana. Like that, that's how they were describing it. But it gives a very good picture of it. And if we all can imagine that we are all cooped up in a small place where there is no freedom. We can't really freely move our hands and legs. And the whole time we can't even stretch our legs. It has to be, you know, in a bent position. Right? So in that position, I am to be placed for 9 months. And then I'm to go through the suffering of, you know, consuming certain filth that I consume. It says that certain times, baby has some, I don't know exactly what the medical thing is, but it forms some dirt on its skin. And then that dirt actually goes into the baby's system. Like it actually swallows it through the mouth. So maybe doctors can explain better what that is happening. But that actually is happening. After a certain period of time, you can start breathing. But what are you breathing? I mean, you're in that space, but the breathing is, again, through that plasma and all those things. But you can only breathe the filth. All that dirt that I'm to smell. And then I'm being cooked by the fire of my mother. It is so warm, and I can't even complain about it. So this is the condition that I'm in. And how did I get into this condition? Because of my prarabdha. Because of my living sensuously in my previous birth, and I wasted that birth. And therefore, I'm being placed in my mother's womb now. So what I'm asking forgiveness to Lord is, oh Lord Shiva, I wasted an opportunity that you gave me, so please forgive me. I now realize, because now I'm in mother's womb, that I'm stuck with another birth. So again, we're not condemning birth. So don't think that, you know, Dhiranji said that Adi Shankaracharyaji is saying that birth is a waste. No. We celebrate birth with really great enthusiasm that such a new life has come into existence. And it is a blessing for the entire family. But to think about it from our perspective is that the birth is a bondage. We are bound by this. So because we are bound, I have to live that entire life again. So I'm asking forgiveness that I wasted my life in my previous embodiment, and I'm promising that I'll make this embodiment a success by realizing this truth. So that is a promise to myself and forgiveness from the Lord that I wasted. But Bhagwan doesn't see that, oh, you wasted it. That is your progression. So when you are meant to come to that realization, you yourself will do. But for me, that was a waste of life, which caused me to be born again. So that is one meaning of forgiveness. Why I am asking for forgiveness? Otherwise, it won't make sense. Then the other thing is that Bhagwan, it says, shakyate kena vaktum. Even though being placed in this situation, I cannot remember you. So I'm asking for forgiveness that I'm put in such a condition that Bhagwan, I cannot remember you. So I cannot remember you. Therefore, I'm asking forgiveness. Okay. Who was it? No. Shukadev. In mother's womb only said that I want to have darshan of Bhagwan. Without darshan of Bhagwan, I am not coming out. So here, we are going through all of this, but we never think about Bhagwan. So there also I forgot. But fine, we can understand that it is involuntary. We are not having that ability to remember. So because it is involuntary, I could not remember you, but yet I have this repentance that I forgot about you, Bhagwan. So because I forgot about you, I am asking for forgiveness. And then one more thought that can come about is that, you know, I'm thinking is, once we are born, I went through all that affliction when I was in mother's womb. Yet your grace, your compassion is so much, O Lord, that you didn't make me live that memory and you wiped that memory out. None of us remember how we felt in mother's womb. Or all the kicks or the hugs that our mother got, and then we were pushed every single time that somebody would come and hug our mom. And how angry I felt at all these various memories. All these things you wiped out from my memory so I can form better memories, and yet I did not thank you, I did not remember you. So I'm asking forgiveness for that. So Lord, please forgive me for making this, for forgetting about you when I should have remembered you. Chantavyo me aparadha, Shiva 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 Bho, Shri Mahadeva Shambho. So, O Lord Shambhu, Shambhu. Shambhu means, Sham means peace, Bhu means one who is. So, one who is peace. I'm asking you to make my mind be peaceful again. So, that becomes the first forgiveness that we are asking. Okay. So we'll think about more of these as we go along. A very really, really nice stotram that opens our eyes up to other things that we have done in this world. Unknowingly only that we have committed these crimes, but now we can think of them and ask for forgiveness. Or find a reason to just praise Bhagwan and love Bhagwan. So that becomes the idea. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.